The Bloomington City Council approved new labor contracts with over 50 parking enforcement officers, support staff, and inspectors who work for the city last night. Here in studio to recap last night's council meeting and discuss other issues is Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Terry, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Of course, Ryan. Great to be here.
Well, I want to start with something that could be on the agenda later this month. Council member Jeff Crable says he wants the council to reject Connect Transit's budget in hopes of saving the Olive Route and avoiding these fare increases. He says this is the best way to trigger discussions about maybe raising city and town contributions for transit, which may reverse those decisions. What do you think of this move?
I think the particular move is the wrong way to go about it. I think discussing this, we're going to continue to discuss it. In fact, actually, you have Isaac Thorne coming on Monday night, who's the director of Connect Transit System, to talk a little bit about that. And I think there are lots of improvements that are necessary. And there's also changes, I think, to the representation on the boards that are necessary. And the one thing that we have to understand is that there are not just two positions that most people have been focusing on that come from Bloomington. There are five positions over the next year. So as we think about this in a perhaps short to midterm range, there are lots of opportunities to change representation. There are lots of opportunities to change policy. There are a lot of opportunities to ensure that the voices of those who are not able-bodied are at the table. There are lots of possibilities, again, as we move forward. I think this is bad because, well, if a majority of council say they want to put this on, and that would mean it would come on June 24th. Their fiscal year ends June 30th. So what that would mean is absolute total pandemonium if the council were to reject the budget, because none of our attorneys at this point can agree on what that even means. Does that mean Connect Transit shuts down? That way everybody loses on July 1st. Any of the riders, there's one school of thought that says that. Another says, well, maybe it's just an ordinance violation. Another one says, well, you'd have time to work the budget. Well, you'd only have 6 days, 5 days, actually, after the 24th, before the end of the fiscal year to do that. This is the kind of stuff that you see done at the national level that's disastrous. You see it done in Springfield, not lately, but for many years. That was disastrous. We don't need that kind of policymaking in Bloomington. We know we have tools, and we hope that we don't have to use all those tools. This is one of the tools in the toolbox that we hope we don't have to use. I would call it the clear nuclear option.
Yes, it seems like there would be other ways to accomplish this, right? Couldn't you talk to Connect Transit, you pick a dollar figure, you pass a budget amendment that kicks in an extra X amount of money, and you send Transit more money? Isn't that an avenue to do this that's
absolutely less disruptive? Or even we could even say, cut your budget and don't raise your rates. There could be any number of things that we say, or some combination thereof, or whatever the case might be. In terms of the Olive Route, that's another substantive change. I personally would not want to get into trying to tell a transit board how to run transit, because that is something that we appoint them to do. And actually, if you see one of the latest maps produced by Vazu, who used to be director of our region, McLean County Regional Planning, and you see the riders and the lines that Connect Transit has, they very closely align. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be some people who are substantially inconvenienced. That's not the point. The point is that from the perspective of the community, Connect Transit is doing a very good job. Now, can they listen better? Absolutely. Can the board be reconstructed to be more representative of riders? Absolutely. But these are the kinds of things that we can accomplish without trying to use a nuclear option that might blow up in our face and others. I mean, if nobody has a way to get from point A to point B as of July 1st, that's a real serious problem.
I spoke to Jeff Crable about this yesterday. He kind of explained his reasoning for this. But what is your sense of other council members? Are there others who kind of support this idea that you think potentially put this in play for later?
Yes, I think
month?
There are some that do. I think there are some that are opposed. I think the council's all over. I think the jury is out on how the council will respond. And once we see the information and the data and then people understand what this really means, I have to hope that calmer heads will prevail, and not that we don't try to freeze the rate increase to prevent that. Not that we don't make all the many changes that we've talked about. Not that we don't reform the system, but that we don't use this nuclear option that at this point is unclear what the consequences would be. And at the very least, they'll be harmful to our reputation, our city, our community's reputation for possible businesses or others, or perhaps our bond rating. There are any number of things. We are not the only people who can Google a city's name and find out information.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham, here with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Mayor, I want to pivot to something on today's agenda at the Bloomington Liquor Commission. It's what's called the off-premises delivery ordinance proposal. So what is that? What is being considered today?
Essentially, what's being considered is the situation, and I describe it as a situation because any particular proposal can take on a variety of forms, that people from, and I'll just mention a couple of prominent grocery stores, Schnucks and Hy-Vee, do provide door-to-door service. They will deliver your groceries and other things. And you can also order bottles of wine or beer, alcohol. So the question would be, how do we monitor this? Do we need to monitor this? This type of service, or even perhaps getting things by mail, right, it is not going away anytime soon. In fact, it's probably never going away. And so, do we do much of anything about it? My thought on it would be, I tend to be a kind of a minimalist in this situation. I don't really like to have really detailed, overburdensome regulations. So I would tend to lean on the side of, well, from time to time, let's do a sting operation, have somebody who's under 21 order from a particular place and see if they're carded when the alcohol is delivered. If they are, then we find them and we let people know that we're policing this. That's my initial reaction to this proposal, the situation. There are any number of proposals we could go down. I would like to pursue the least burdensome upon businesses.
And just to clarify, I mean, how much of this is happening already? Would it be completely against current liquor code for it to be going on right now? What is sort of current practice?
Well, that's a good question. Right now, it's happening. And if it's against our liquor code, you'd have to have somebody make a pretty good case for how it's against our liquor code. And, you know, from my perspective, if we haven't acted on it, it's not against our liquor code, because you can't blame somebody for trying to make a profit on something if they don't know that it's illegal. And especially if lawyers don't know that it's illegal. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question, and other communities are wrestling with it. And they've operated in a variety of ways. Some have prohibited it. I definitely would not want to go down that path. Some have regulated it, you know, to a very high level. Others have what I would call as a more laissez-faire approach, and that is monitor it, test it, see if there are violations, and you punish the violations when they occur. But otherwise, let the market flow and let people buy whatever they want to buy from grocery stores and have it delivered to their home.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, tomorrow night at 6 p.m., the Bloomington Public Safety and Community Relations Board is going to be meeting at the City of Refuge on Jefferson Street. On the agenda is the search for the new Bloomington Police Chief. So what is that going to look like, that kind of public forum, and what are you hoping to get out of that?
Well, I think that what I'm hoping, and I believe the review board is hoping to get, is some broad public discussion and ideas of what they would like to see in terms of core qualities in policies that are pursued by the new police chief. So I would say this is really, really important. If you've got some strong ideas and situations or even compelling stories, this is the time to come forward. This is as we're at the very early stages of even thinking about the type of police chief we might want to help lead our community and lead our law enforcement for the next decade, possibly, or more.
And current Chief Clay Wheeler is set to retire here on June 21st, I believe. Has there been an interim chief named at this point?
There has not been, no. And my guess is that, that's going to have to happen fairly soon. And Mr. Gleason is out of the office this week. So, although he texted me last night, and I told him, rest. The nasties will hit the fan when you return. So we'll worry about that then.
Well, Mayor Renner, I want to end with something that came up at last night's city council meeting related to Councilmember Jen Carrillo. She recently called for a boycott of a new downtown Bloomington business that was going to be opening up. Their original name was the Gypsy Room, and many consider gypsy to be a derogatory term. Business owners have since said they're going to be changing that name, but Neil Carrillo has caught some criticism over that. You sort of interjected last night as the media, including our reporter Brianna Groh, was interviewing Carrillo, and here's what you said.
Come on. You know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that nobody is harmed. Everybody's learned a lesson. We all understand. We all have got to move forward. And there's nobody, I mean, Alderwoman Carrillo certainly wants to make sure that we have strong economic development downtown and all other things. And she's only been in office a month. Give her some time to learn. We're all learning. So that's my comment on this is, come on, let's just move forward. Let's deal with the real problems in our city.
At the end there, you're hearing the voice of Howard Packowitz from WJBC. But I don't want to...
Supposed to mention the call numbers of it.
We're all friends here. Well, I don't want to relitigate the merits of the boycott
or why
we shouldn't name things the Gypsy Room. But it seemed like you were bothered or at least exasperated a little bit that the media was even asking about this. You say, come on. I guess, why is that?
No, not that the media was even asking about it, but that they kept... I was right next to her and I was finishing signing documents. I thought it was so over the top, and I apologized to Alderwoman Carrillo. I said, I didn't mean to think that you needed my help necessarily. I was just exasperated. It's like, come on, you've asked the question. All right. She said that, she would not do this again, that she didn't realize the normal channels that you might follow under these circumstances. So I think that's an answer. I mean, I realize not just your network or your station, but others, that there are cool gotcha moments that are, and this is one of those. And I think it's also a learning moment for Alderwoman Carrillo, and that she's been a social activist, so she's used to organizing people for social action. It's going to probably take more than 30 days for her to make the transition to being an effective policymaker and moving the community forward. So that's why I'm suggesting, okay, somebody kills your grandmother, all right, you got a right to be upset, okay. But on something like this, okay, you say, this is a big mistake, you shouldn't have done it, move on. I mean, given the kinds of things that we have to deal with, I would hope that continuing to beat up on Alderwoman Carrillo is not one of them. I don't think it's productive.
Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thanks, Ryan.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Normal Mayor Chris Coos. This is Sound Ideas.